During these 50 days of Eastertide, we're learning alongside our children in church school, as you can see here, and how the good news of Jesus' ministry and resurrection spreads and how it inspires us to live our lives. Let us open our minds, imaginations, and hearts to join Paul and Silas as they travel to share Jesus' ministry. One day, when we were on the way to a place to prayer, we met an enslaved woman. She had a spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She made a lot of money for her owners through fortune telling. She began following Paul and us, shouting, "These people are servants of the Most High God. They are proclaiming a way of salvation for you." She did this for many days. This annoyed Paul so much that he finally turned and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave her." It left her at that very moment. Her owners realized that their hope for making money was gone. They grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the officials in the city center. When her owners approached the legal authorities, they said, "These people are causing an uproar in our city. They are Jews who promote customs that we Romans cannot accept or practice." The crowd joined and attacked the attacks against Paul and Silas. So the authorities ordered that they be stripped of their clothes and beaten with a rod. When Paul and Silas had been severely beaten, the authorities threw them in prison and ordered the jailer to secure them with the great care. When he received these instructions, he threw them into the innermost cell and secured their feet in the stocks. This is just my visual aid from my kindergartner. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. All at once, there was such a violent earthquake that it shook the prison's foundations. The doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer awoke and saw the open doors in the prison, he thought that the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted loudly, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for some lights, rushed in, and felt trembling before Paul and Silas. He led them outside and asked, "Honorable masters, what must I do to be rescued?" They replied, "Believe in Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your entire household." They spoke the Lord's word to him and everyone else in his house. Right then, in the middle of the night, the jailer welcomed them and washed their wounds. He and everyone in the household were immediately baptized. He brought them to his home and gave them a meal. He was overjoyed because he and everyone in his household had come to believe in God. For the good news of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.
So as we mentioned in our greetings this morning, today we have the honor of welcoming Charm City Sings on tour in Boston from their home city of Baltimore, where they live out their mission to connect community through song. Now, throughout human history, music and song has been interwoven in the fabric of our lives and our communities. From Negro spirituals like "Wade in the Water" or "Let My People Go," to labor songs like "Which Side Are You On?" or "Solidarity Forever," to wedding first dance songs, to mixtapes and playlists given to friends or crushes, music helps us forge connections and unite together. So it's no surprise that the scripture mentions Paul and Silas singing hymns throughout the night in jail. Nor is it a surprise that they had the rapt attention of all the other prisoners. Song is a force to be reckoned with, and so it's such a privilege to welcome Charm City Sings to our worship this morning. And before I turn it over to them, however, there's just a couple notes from our Bible story that I want to reflect on together. I was struck by the fact that the jailer's response upon waking and thinking the prisoners had escaped was to try to kill himself, and that his question to Paul and Silas was, "What must I do to be rescued?" Now, doing a little research, I found that earlier in Acts, when Peter escaped from jail, Herod had the guards killed. And so maybe this jailer is so terrified of what the Romans might do to him that he'd rather die by his own hand than be submitted to interrogation and execution by the Romans. In this story, the jailer is the oppressor, and yet he too lives under the thumb of the Roman Empire. And knowing that, his question about how to be saved has a richer meaning. On the surface, what must I do to be rescued from this immediate situation, outnumbered by newly unshackled prisoners who are certainly not his biggest fans? But also, what must I do to be rescued from this dynamic, from this system that I've finally awoken to? The Greek word translated here as rescued can also be translated as saved, which supports the idea of this dual meaning of immediate safety and long-term liberation. And it adds a third meaning, salvation. Earlier in Acts, we hear the same word used to describe the growing church, that daily the Lord added to their number those who were being saved, or those who were being rescued, or those who were being made safe. The jailer asks Paul and Silas what he must do to be saved, and they share Jesus' teachings with him, which we then see him immediately put into practice, offering hospitality to the strangers, tending to their wounds, giving them food, providing them with a safe place to sleep. Whatsoever you do to the least of these, my brothers. And so I just want to bring your attention back to Palm Sunday, several weeks ago, for just a brief moment, when we saw Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, a symbol of peace, contrasted with Caesar's war parade on the other side of town. In God's kingdom, salvation, safety, comes through peacemaking, not through conquest. It comes not by might, but by caring and community building. We know that any system of power based on supremacy and vertical hierarchy harms even those who are closer to the top of the food chain, just as the jailer knew that his life was at the mercy of the Roman government. If we find ourselves, like the jailer, asking, "What must I do to be rescued from this system?" we need to be on the lookout for the moments when God calls us to wake up and humble ourselves before those who have even greater knowledge of the oppression that these systems rely on, to actually listen to their wisdom and experiences, to really take it in, and then, like the jailer, truly begin living as neighbors in community. Maybe that's how we can all be made safe. Maybe that is how we find salvation. Maybe that's how we're rescued. Now, before I turn it over to Charm City Sings, I'm wrapping it up, I promise, I want to share a bit about their next song, Tree of Peace, a song that centers Indigenous history in what is now America. As the Indigenous Values Initiative explains, over 1,000 years ago, the five nations were brought together in peace at Onondaga Lake by the peacemaker and Hiawatha. Together, they planted the Great Tree of Peace and created the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. This is where peace and wellness began anew. The Tree of Peace is a metaphor for how peace can grow if it's nurtured. Like a tall tree, peace can provide protection and comfort. Like a pine tree, peace spreads its protective branches to create a place of peace where we can gather and renew ourselves. Like the white pine, peace also creates large roots that rise out of the ground so that people can trace their journey to the source. If anyone truly desired peace, they could follow the sacred white roots of peace to the capital of the Confederacy at Onondaga, where they would learn of the words of the peacemaker. His message is that we can all nurture the Tree of Peace. The peacemaker had the warriors uproot a great white pine under which left a gaping hole, and the 50 chiefs and warriors threw their weapons of war under the great tree, where an underground stream carried the weapons away, and it was lifted back upright. This is the origin of the phrase, bury the hatchet. The peacemaker said that the chiefs will be standing on the earth like trees, deeply rooted in the land with strong trunks, all the same height, having equal authority, in front of their people to protect them, with the power of the good mind, not physical force. On top of the tree sits an eagle who serves as an ever-vigilant protector of the peace. The Five Nations also came together to play a special game to solidify the great peace, and today that game is known as lacrosse. It is now my great pleasure to turn it over to Charm City Sings as they lead us more deeply into reflection through song.
Listen, 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 listen. Thank you.